Each and every decision you've made in your life has had an impact, shaped you into the person you are today. But what if I told you that there exists a universe for each of those choices, where things turned out differently? This may be a mere theory in our world, but within the realms of comic books, science fiction, or fantasy, it is a reality that holds infinite wonders and horrors. Either way, they make for some good storytelling. So come with us as we talk about the events occurring now and in the future. Let us discuss the state of the multiverse. Hello and welcome back to the State of the Multiverse podcast with me, your host, Reese. It's been a minute, obviously. I know I say this every episode, but you know, stuff just gets in the way. But I have been working on this episode for a while and I got it done last night, so we get to record today. Let's just get right into it. Let's not delay any longer. This week's artist shout-out is Adam Murphy Art. I follow him on Instagram on one of my other profiles. He has a really cool art style, and lately he's done a picture for a movie I love and think is very underappreciated called The Grey with Liam Neeson. If you haven't seen that movie, it looks like it's just like Taken with wolves. But there's a lot more to it than that. I won't say much because I don't want to spoil that, but I'd highly recommend The Grey with Liam Neeson. I think it was 2013 it came out. He's also done some really cool stuff for Avengers Endgame, Jaws, Indiana Jones. That's just some of his recent stuff. You can scroll through his page for ages and not find a bad picture. So Adam Murphy Art. Go check him out. I know he's on Instagram. I'm not sure if he has any other platforms, but you can definitely find him there. We have a lot of news to cover this week, and I'm going to start off with Marvel. The writer Donny Cates will take over the Thor series once Jason Aaron finishes his run, and all we know so far is that Thor must navigate being king while also facing the newest threat called the Black Winter. I, for one, am reading Jason Aaron's Thor at the moment. I've read about 4 volumes of it, and I don't know if I'm going to pick up the Mighty Thor stuff. I might just find that on YouTube, like Comicstorian. But, I'm reading the Odinson Thor stuff. I think there's a lot of books in that series, and they're all kind of connected, so I might just save myself some time and money and just use Comicstorian. I'd highly recommend that channel too, because he just goes through stories. Comic Story and Comics Explain, I've talked about those two guys before, that's Benny and Rob. I really want to get onto the Unworthy Thor book, and then obviously the more up-to-date stuff, and then War of the Realms, which I'm surprised, like, reading in Jason Aaron's first few books, they really do tease that, like, they're laying the groundwork, but I'm really excited to see what happens. Some stuff has been spoiled for me, but nothing major, so that's good. Several rumors are going out about Daredevil being featured in Spider-Man 3. Again, you know, obviously these are rumors, so you can't, you know, but obviously I'd want that to happen. That'd be great. Far From Home producer Amy Pascal has teased the Sinister Six potentially showing up. Disney asked Robert Downey Jr. about an Oscar push, and he said, "Let's not." I think that's pretty good. I mean, I may have said this last week, but Endgame is a great movie, great culmination of 11 years of storytelling, but I don't think Robert Downey Jr. should get a Best Oscar nod. I think if anyone should be Joaquin Phoenix. But we'll wait and see what happens with that. But he himself doesn't want to, so why would they force him? Here's a little fun fact. Iron Man's shield in Endgame was not nanotech, because he learned from his previous fight with Thanos that it drains the suit's material. I remember noticing that in the film. Like, I thought it was just an upgrade or whatever, but yeah, the shield he creates with the Iron Man armor isn't actually from the armor itself. In Captain America's fight with Thanos in Endgame, Cap kept aiming for the head while Thanos went for the legs and tried to unbalance Steve Rogers. These are just some fun little facts, I think. We got some sneak peeks at the Stark Tech suits for the Avengers Project game. They look pretty cool. WandaVision will explore why Wanda is called the Scarlet Witch. I mean, it's definitely something we need to know, at least in the MCU. The cast for Marvel and Hulu's Hellstrom has been revealed. Tom Austin is Damon Hellstrom. Sydney Lemon as Anna Hellstrom. Elizabeth Marvel, that's a good name, as Victoria Hellstrom, Robert Wisdom as Caretaker, June Carroll as Dr. Louise Hastings, Ariana Guerrera as Gabrielle Rosetta, and Elaine Yui as Chris Yen. His second name is literally just Y, or U-Y, so I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Yeah, I don't know that much about Hellstrom. I know he's the son of Satan, so it should be pretty interesting. Yeah, this sounds like a pretty good cast so far. In the Raimi continuity for the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films, J. Jonah Jameson and Norman Osborn were part of the same group called the Ascot Club. This is just a fact I came across. If you think about it, by the end of Far From Home, we still don't know Quentin Beck's real name. And if any of you guys forget who Quentin Beck is, that is Mysterio. And he even says it in the part where he's revealing his plan or whatever. That, you know, the woman that came up with the backstory of a warrior from another world named Quentin Beck. So we don't actually know his name. Speaking of Mysterio, alternative costume or concept art designs have been released. One of them shows a Mysterio version of the Hulkbuster. That would have been interesting. I wonder how that would have showed up. I've heard a rumor that Disney may be trying to buy out Sony for Spider-Man for $5 billion. I mean, obviously we want to make sure Spider-Man stays. We're going to have him for at least two more movies, but at the same time, business-wise, Disney being such a monopoly is not good. So I'm not going to go into that. Peter's new suit in Far From Home was going to be a lot more like the Iron Spider suit, with gold running through the chest with the red and black. I've seen the pictures of the design. It's cool, but I think just the black and red works. I do kind of agree with people that like they need to distance him from Iron Man, and I think doing that in the third movie could really help. Although I do love the relationship that they had. I think it works for the continuity and the universe that they've built. Set pictures for Eternals have come out with Richard Madden as Icarus. It looks like it's set in the 80s, maybe. Or that part of it. I know it's going to be spanning a lot of human history up until the modern day, probably. There's a rumour that Timothy Chalamet could be Wiccan in WandaVision. And I read somewhere that Wiccan and Speed, Wanda's children, may show up, so that's pretty interesting. I mean, he looks a lot like the character, so. I'm sure you guys have heard about this. Celebrities such as Martin Scorsese, along with Francis Ford Coppola, and even Jennifer Aniston, have come out to criticise the Marvel movies. Scorsese related them to a theme park, but said that actors do the best they can with what they have. People in Marvel, such as James Gunn and Mark Ruffalo, have commented back in return, although Mark Ruffalo's comments have been deleted since. Some rumours. Spider-Man 3 could be called Home Run. Captain Marvel 2 may take place in 1999 and could possibly introduce the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four cast has already been decided, apparently, according to the rumours. Eternals may set up the mutants in the MCU. Namor could be getting a film with a major league Caribbean cast. Disney Plus may get series for Magneto, Professor X, Nightcrawler, and Wolverine. I kind of hope that isn't true, or at least not right now, because we need to introduce the characters first, you know, into the actual MCU, rather than just straight into a series. Although they are doing that with She-Hulk and Moon Knight and stuff, so maybe it could work. Venom director Ruben Fleischer confirms an eventual Spider-Man crossover will happen. I mean, I'd be happy with that. The Deadpool writers have confirmed that they are being allowed to stay rated R, which is very, very good. Jane Foster's cancer story from the Jason Aaron Mighty Thor comics could be featured. Taika Waititi and Natalie Portman have talked about it. Kevin Feige has been named Chief Creative Officer for Marvel. He is overseeing all storytelling. That doesn't even limit him to the movies. It's television, comics, etc. And he's planning on doing 3 to 4 movies per year. And for those of you that do not like the consistency of these superhero movies, for one, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, but thank you if you are. I don't think, I understand it's exhausting, even for me as a fan, but at the same time, it's more of what I love, so I'm happy with that. James Mangold, who directed The Wolverine and Logan, still wants to do an X-23 film. I really doubt that's going to happen, but I'd still love to see it, especially if it's with Daphne Keane, who played Laura and Logan. Chris Hemsworth was upset that Cap could lift Mjolnir and that another person got to use his toy. I don't have the quote here, but it was something like, you know, like, leave it to me, or it's just mine, you know, something like that. Scarlett Johansson has referred to Black Widow as an independent franchise, and that could be teasing more films down the line, whether that involves Natasha Romanoff or Yelena Belova, who knows. Also, the trailer for that should hopefully be coming out either this month or next month. A fun fact, due to his excessive drinking, Thor has to apply eye drops to himself in Endgame. I'm sure you guys probably noticed that it's in when they're planning out the heist, but he only applies it to his right eye, his right eye, because the other one is cybernetic, or is it his left? I'm getting confused with sides, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, he applies to one eye because the other one isn't an actual eye, obviously. Vin Diesel and Aaron Taylor-Johnson are eyed for Black Bolt and Maximus in Miss Marvel, and the Royal Family casting is underway. I mean, Vin Diesel could play Black Bolt, obviously. I mean, if he does, hopefully he does a good job. But I'm kind of tired of Vin Diesel, to be honest. I mean, he already plays Groot, and, well, he does the voice. And Aaron Taylor-Johnson already played Quicksilver, so it wouldn't really make sense for him to be Maximus. There's a rumor that Vincent D'Onofrio may be involved in The Batman, potentially as Harvey Bullock. Ant-Man 3 is happening, and there's a rumor that it could potentially introduce the Young Avengers. Also, did you guys see Evangeline Lilly, who plays the Wasp? She shaved a part of her head the other day, and it looked pretty good. And then I went onto Instagram yesterday, and she shaved her entire head. I mean, it looks good, but I was quite surprised. Daredevil and Jessica Jones may be introduced with the same actors into the MCU. There's a rumor that Daredevil Season 4 might come out and it might be PG-13. John Bernthal isn't ready to move past the Punisher role, apparently. And there's a rumor that if he does get a movie, it'll be rated R, like Blade. James Gunn thinks Drax should get a solo film. I don't necessarily agree. Naomi Harris is in talks to play the villain in Venom 2. Taika Waititi wants to double down on everything from Ragnarok. Go ahead, I say. The continuation of Bro Thor is being debated at Marvel. What do you guys think? Would you rather Thor continue the way he is in Endgame? Or would you rather him go back to being fit Thor? I think maybe not go back to exactly the way he was. Maybe tone him up a little bit. Like, just get rid of the gut. But keep all the hair. Maybe just shorten the beard or just keep it braided. I don't know. I think the beard is a little bit too puffy. But, yeah. The Mandalorian will have 2 episodes released in its first week. And it will have 8 episodes in total. That's not exactly Marvel news, but it's Disney, so I'm still putting it in there. despite rumors, or despite allegations, I could say, from his ex-wife, Jeremy Renner will stay on as Hawkeye. I won't comment on that. That's his business. But there was accusations being made by her that he had taken drugs and been violent or something like that. And it's come out that apparently it was just to get custody of the kids. But that's a messy situation, so we won't stay on that. The series will explore Hawkeye's origins, which should be good. We need them. Chris Evans, Captain America himself, will be in 2 episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and filming is underway. Bucky and Sam will face a viral threat in the series. Interesting. Susanna Khan is rumored to be playing Kamala Khan in the Miss Marvel series. Captain Marvel and Valkyrie will not be a couple in Thor Love and Thunder, confirms Taika Waititi. Fans want the in-flight movies from Far From Home to be made on Disney Plus. I think that would be really cool. A new comic called Avengers of the Wasteland will follow a new Hulk, Thor, and Ant-Man in the Old Man Logan universe, and they will face off against Doctor Doom. So those three new versions of those characters facing off against the Doctor Doom of the Old Man Logan universe. That sounds pretty cool. You don't, in at least in Old Man Logan, the main comic, you don't really get a lot of Doctor Doom. You get him in like one or two panels. But I don't know if he's explored further in other books, but maybe this will be it now. Jeff Loeb leaves Marvel TV. He was the guy that kind of made sure shows like the Netflix Marvel stuff, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Legion, and Cloak and Dagger got to the screen. Bucky's new arm has features that we haven't seen yet. That could be pretty cool. Wonder what they are. I know in the comics his arm has like a bunch of tricks and stuff. Someone came out and said that they wish the old man Steve was Stan Lee, saying that it would be all the cameos he's had over the years would have been him checking in on his friends. But the theory doesn't have much logic considering, you know, the age he would be at each time. But it's definitely interesting. I for one was really happy with how Cap's story ended. I know some people weren't, but hey, for me, I it was great. I recently came across a thing from a comic. Was it Daredevil Father or something it was called? But the old man that Daredevil saved as a child that resulted in his blindness went on to molest his daughter and become a serial killer. God, Daredevil gets dark and I love it. That's good content to have, but at the same time, from the Daredevil comics that I've read, the darkness in them stories, it just adds to the character so much more, and it translates very well to the Netflix series. So that's pretty shocking. I wonder, does Matt regret saving that guy now? Probably. Bruce and Hulk were originally going to have a moment in the Soul Stone Endgame. I would have loved to see that. The Cloak and Dagger series has been cancelled after two seasons. I still haven't watched it, but I know it's crossing over with Runaways in Runaways' third season, so I do need to get caught up. In Far From Home, Mysterio has war medals and a sign pointing to himself in the illusion in the bar to subconsciously influence Peter to hand over the glasses. I looked at the scene again, and it actually does. It's the small details you never notice. In a scrapped storyline from Endgame, Rhodey was the vice president. Okay. It's come out and been confirmed, apparently, that Talos, the Skrull, has been Nick Fury since Ultron. Since Age of Ultron. And the last time we saw the real Nick Fury until the post-credit scene of Far From Home was the Winter Soldier. So that's pretty interesting. J. Jonah Jameson may be in the Morbius film. Okay, that makes something exciting about the Morbius film, I guess. Ant-Man 3, I should have said, is coming out in 2022, probably. And the other day, Into the Spider-Verse 2 was announced. And it's coming out on April 8th, 2022. That's a lot of Marvel news. And now on to DC Comics news. Justice League Dark Apocalypse War pics have leaked, shows the League, the Titans, Darkseid, Constantine, and Batman in the Mobius chair? I remember seeing the picture, I was like, what? that Batman sat in the Mobius chair during the Darkseid War event, so maybe they could be doing something with that, actually. Some pics have leaked from the Superman Red Son animated movie, mainly showing Superman and then one with him with Wonder Woman. I'm really excited for that. I'm a bit less excited for the Justice League Dark one because I feel like it should be Justice League Dark, but it's becoming everybody, not just them, but whatever. In the Snyder version of Justice League, General Swanwick was revealed to be the Martian Manhunter. That's pretty cool. I mean, the actor has talked about it himself, and there's pictures have been leaked about of him in a motion capture suit. So, there's a rumor that Emilia Clarke may be the lead in a Zatanna solo movie. That could be pretty good, I think. Zatanna is a good character; she deserves a movie. There's been mixed reports on Jared Leto's response to Joker. In an interview, he seemed pretty hopeful to still portray the character in future projects, but there has been rumors that he tried to kill the movie. before it even got off the ground. Again, I don't want to comment on that, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, from all the stuff I've heard about Jared Leto, and then my own opinion in there as well, you know. I used to listen to his music. I still do every once in a while, but, like, the whole Joker thing and him as a person kind of annoy me. But he's a good actor, I'll give him that. From what I've seen otherwise, he's pretty good. The child actor who portrayed a young Clark Kent in the original Superman played a soldier in Man of Steel. I recently found that out. Some pictures from the James Gunn Suicide Squad have leaked. Very bright and colourful. And not in a neon way like the previous one. Burt Ward from Batman 66 pics have leaked from the Crisis event. Lucifer has been heavily rumoured to appear in Crisis. I really hope he does, because there's a rumour that he's on set with Constantine, and that just needs to happen. Shazam director David F. Sandberg has jokingly confirmed that Booster Gold is the kid in Shazam playing with the action figures. I mean, I'll take that. The Titans characters may appear in Crisis on Infinite Earths as well. Get the Titans, get Doom Patrol, get Swamp Thing, get everybody. Paul Dano is the Riddler in The Batman, and Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. Those are pretty good castings. Paul Dano, I think it's because the movies I've seen him in, he plays not likable characters, but he's a very good actor. I think he's outstanding in Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, but I just love that movie. Anyway, I never stopped talking about it. Jeffrey Wright is playing Commissioner Gordon. That's really good casting right there. He's a great actor. Robert Wool will reprise his role as Alexander Knox from Batman 89 in Crisis. For those of you that don't know who that is, he was the reporter that worked with... what was her name? Vicky Vale, that's it. And he has like a few funny moments of Bruce Wayne as well. HBO Max will have more than one DC show. And actually, I wrote that down previously. We do have information on what the HBO Max will be doing. I'll get to that soon. Tom Cavanaugh's Pariah from Crisis has been revealed. Todd Phillips says a theatrical cut of Joker is the director's cut, despite some scenes having been removed. The Anti-Monitor for Crisis on Infinite Earths has been revealed as well. Some people have joked that his face looks a bit like a White Walker. An edit someone made... William Gray is the artist. William Gray Art made an edit of Jared Leto's Joker with eyebrows and without all the tattoos. And honestly, it looks good. It actually looks good. I'll admit that. Jonah Hill is no longer in talks to be in The Batman. Seth Rogen may be the alternative. Robert Pattinson has come out and said he wants to, quote, lose himself in the Batman role and wants to explore the morality of him being, quote, a bit off. He says his voice for Batman was influenced by Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse. That's their new film. I really want to see that. It looks fantastic. It's been getting great reception at film festivals. Black Adam is in pre-production, and the production will start in summer 2020. I'm really excited for Black Adam. Again, the whole thing with The Rock, kind of, I'm a bit jaded with him, but admit it, he is still entertaining, so I'll give him that, and I really hope he plays the character well. And I think I mentioned before, the plan is to, like, have another Shazam movie, and then in the third movie, he and Black Adam will meet, so that should be pretty good. Steven Lobo will play the Spectre in Crisis on Infinite Earths. Yay, Spectre's finally showing up in something. The DC Universe series Stargirl, which is yet to premiere, will be moving to the CW and will be edited to fit the standards, but unedited episodes will air on HBO Max. Speaking of HBO Max, let's get into some of the stuff that's coming on that. HBO Max will have Strange Adventures, an anthology series focusing on things going wrong in a world of superheroes, and Green Lantern, which will be overseen by Greg Berlanti. Apparently, like, people have said, why not get Geoff Johns to oversee that, because he's wrote some fantastic Green Lantern stuff. But apparently Warner Brothers doesn't like him. I don't know why, but yeah. Greg Berlanti, I'm sure people know, is the guy that has been overseeing shows like Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and Legends the last few years. I really want this to be a Green Lantern show, but then there's a quote saying it's Green Lantern inspired, which annoys me. Apparently a Green Lantern will be in the show, but I mean, unless it's an actual Green Lantern series, like focusing on stories with Hal or John or Kyle, even Guy, or even Jessica or Simon, like there's a lot of human Green Lanterns, but at the same time, you know, it's taken so long for the movie to come out. I don't know whether this is replacing the movie or if we're still getting that, I don't know, but just make it good. HBO Max will also apparently do 8 feature films with DC Comics, and names such as James Wan, J.J. Abrams, and Zack Snyder have been attached, apparently. Elizabeth Banks will have a DC Superhero High series on HBO Max. I mean, okay, that should be cool. Nothing against Elizabeth Banks, but I don't really know how that's going to really work out. And something that HBO Max could have to kind of trump all the other streaming services is, could they release the Snyder Cut? And I will get back to the Snyder Cut in a minute. They could also revive Krypton or Swamp Thing and make them possibly better than they were. Jason Momoa has confirmed that filming for Aquaman 2 begins next year. Every major character is returning for the sequel. And Momoa has said he's seen the Snyder Cut, and it's completely different than the one we got. And I do want to see it. I want to see what the original thing was going to be. But at the same time, I'm tired of hearing of it. It's been 2 years. But yeah, I mean, release it and let us see, obviously. Thanks to references in Batman and the Flash, the existence of Joker and Ted Kord has been confirmed for the Arrowverse. Kord Industries has been named previously, but it was Ted Kord's full name was mentioned on the Flash recently. Michael Giacchino, I think that's how you pronounce his name, will compose the Batman, and he has done films such as Rogue One, Just Jurassic World, and Doctor Strange and Spider Man. So yeah, that's a very good choice. Rocksteady's next Arkham game may focus on the Bat Family and Batman's legacy. I think that's pretty good. I mean, as good as the Arkham games are, I think I'd like something different. Frankly, I'd like a game about a different character, but whatever. Stephen Amell has said that if Arrow could go for another season, he would want Tommy Merlin to be the main villain. I think that'd be pretty cool. But also, Arrow needs to, I know it's the last season, but like they're trying to like have emotional outbursts or emotional reactions from the audience every single episode. And I was watching the third one last night, and it was him like seeing his sister for what might be the last time. And yeah, I felt bad, but also I was typing up this podcast, so I wasn't really as invested. Probably if I was just watching it, I probably would have felt more. Let's see. The Monitor said that the Flash must die for the unit or the multiverse to be saved, but he didn't specify it was Earth One Barry. A lot of people are wondering about that. After lots of speculation, it has been confirmed that Pedro Pascal is playing Maxwell Lord in Wonder Woman 84. That's a pretty good character to have in the movies. Based off of what we've seen, he looks a lot like the character. And I'm wondering if they're going to do the thing from the comics where Wonder Woman just literally snapped his neck. maybe that adds to why she's kind of left being a hero, but before Batman vs Superman, that is. Warner Brothers is still wanting a Joker and Harley Quinn film, apparently. I mean, I'm sure it'd be interesting, but I think with Birds of Prey, Harley's going to really kind of shine as her own character and not be attached to the Joker. I mean, she's done that in the comics, so whatever, we'll see what happens. For people that were kind of confused by Joker, Arthur didn't kill Sophie. Sophie is the character Zazie Beetz plays, and she's his neighbor, the one that, spoilers, if you have not seen Joker, skip ahead if you can. She was in his head. So, yeah, he didn't kill her. Okay, and in case, I won't keep talking about that, but like, yeah, people were confused about that apparently. He only killed people that were that had wronged him in the film. Fun fact, due to the time differences, the Joker trailer came out on Heath Ledger's birthday in Australia. Due to the low budget, the revenue margin for Joker is comparable with Infinity War. That is amazing. A Superman and Lois TV show is in development at the CW, using the versions of the characters from Supergirl. I think that's pretty cool. I look forward to that. Hopefully, it gets a decent budget. I don't like low budget Superman doesn't really work that well. Deathstroke may be getting his own live action TV show. That's a rumor. I know he's getting the CW Seed series, but again, I'd like a live action one. Whether it's the one from Titans or the one from Arrow, I don't really mind. Doom Patrol is rumored to be getting multiple seasons on HBO Max. We know we're getting a season 2, which I'm really excited about, but if we get multiple seasons, all the better. Nightwing might be getting a HBO Max movie, because they keep hinting it. And then Adam Strange is getting a TV show on HBO Max. HBO Max is like Disney's answer to like Disney Plus, or HBO Max is DC's answer to Disney Plus almost. They're just cramming everything onto it apparently. Yeah, but if it works out, more fun for us, I guess, as comic fans. In other news, Patton Oswalt will be in The Boys season 2 in a mystery role. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing season 2 anyway, so that just gets better. Will Smith is developing a Fresh Prince spin-off. Do I even need to say anything to that? Stranger Things season 4 will have 8 episodes. Kurt Sutter, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, recently showed a picture of the original Clay. It wasn't Ron Perlman, it was actually Scott Glenn, who played Stick on Daredevil. Fun fact, the failed superhero from the beginning of the movie Kick-Ass is a friend of director Matthew Vaughn and was one of the Kingsmen at the table in his other film. Taylor Kitsch has joined Neil Blomkamp's Inferno. Neil Blomkamp did movies like District 9, and did he do Chappie? I think he had like an Elysium. Like those are like his trilogy. Robert Eggers' next film, The Northman, will have Alexander Skarsgård, Nicole Kidman, Anya Taylor-Joy, Bill Skarsgård, and Willem Dafoe. The trailer for Bloodshot came out. The comic book adaptation that Vin Diesel has been trying to get done for a few years. It's not. It doesn't look anything like the comics, and is overall quite lackluster. I mean, hopefully the movie's good, but I'm not gonna go see it. David Benioff and D.B. Weiss were fired from the Star Wars trilogy they were gonna do. Good riddance. The Witcher trailer came out the other day, the proper one, and their release date will be the December 20th. I was really happy with the Witcher trailer. The Game of Thrones prequel is dead, but House of the Dragon will be out in 2021. So I'm guessing that's the one that's going to focus on the Targaryen family, the one that I wanted to see. I mean, as I really wanted to see a one about like the Dance of Dragons and the Targaryen family and stuff like that, as opposed to, oh, we're going back to the White Walker stuff again. So it worked out so well the last time. Vincent D'Onofrio has come out and talked about how anything on film or digital are movies. It's not a fine art, but an art form, and spreads a more positive message about the non-cinema opinion of Marvel. And I saw a joke the other day. It was Ben Shapiro's, where does it say that in the title meme? And what was it? It was about, Martin Scorsese saying, where does it say it's cinema? It's like, oh, well, in the name Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, so that's pretty funny. But yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is quite good with that stuff. Like he kind of cuts through the shit and is just, saying he's spreading a more positive view of it there, which I think is really good. And he's also been very vocal about wanting to be involved in the MCU more with the Wilson Fisk character and getting involved with Spider-Man and Daredevil and stuff like that. It seems Seems like he has the best interests of the people, or the fans at heart, anyway. So I had an idea about other adaptations for DC and their Black Label movie stuff. I think these would be really cool to see in the same vein as Joker, you know, like not starting a franchise, just kind of be independent, singular films. I came up with five, and one of them I kind of talked about last week, but I'll talk about it again. And I even tried to think of like directors that I think could do it. I'm not familiar with all the work of these directors, but I think from what I know of them, the tone that they usually do, or what the type of films they usually make, I think would match these stories. In my view, anyway, everyone has their own opinion. So the first one is The Dark Knight Returns. And as Batman, I would like either Ben Affleck or Josh Brolin. This is the one I talked about last week, by the way. Alfred should be Ian McKellen. Carrie Kelly, Robin, should be Sophia Lillis. Jim Gordon should be Kurt Russell. Harvey Dent should be Bruce Willis. Joker should be Willem Dafoe, because he needs to play the Joker before he dies. Hapthor Julius Bjornsson should play the mutant leader. Stephen James should play the son of Batman. Ellen Yindel should be played by Mackenzie Davis. She's in that new Terminator movie. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard mixed things. But I've seen her in Blade Runner 2049. She was really good in that too. Brad Pitt should play the older Green Arrow. Matt Bomer should play Superman. And Helena Bonham Carter should play Catwoman. That is mainly based off of a fan cast I've seen on Instagram, because I thought it was just really good and I wanted to talk about those characters and actors. But some of them I've kind of tweaked. But yeah, I think David Fincher could direct a really good version of that. I've seen some of his stuff, but I think the more serious tone he goes for could work quite well. Next one is Superman Red Son, which we are getting the animated movie of, and I do really want to read the book. I watched the motion comic on YouTube years ago, but I want to read it. For Superman, and also technically Bizarro, I guess, because I know he shows up in that story, John Hamm. For Batman Cuff, the Russian version of Batman, I think Carl Urban. For Wonder Woman, I'm thinking Gina Carano. Lex Luthor should be Billy Zane, because he looks like the live-action version of the animated Lex Luthor, I swear to God. Stalin should be played by Anthony Hopkins. Lois Lane could be played by Jennifer Connelly. And Jimmy Olsen could be played by Skylar Gisondo. I mainly know him from the Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix. I love that show, and he plays Eric. He's great on it. I think Thomas Alfredson could do a good job directing that. Next, we have Mr. Miracle. And I think that I did a fan cast of this thing before, so I think Matt Bomer should play Scott Free. I'm a big fan of this guy, if you guys couldn't tell. He's fantastic voicing Negative Man or Larry Traynor on Doom Patrol. And he looks just like Superman. And then even when Mitch Gerads was illustrating the Tom King Mr. Miracle book, I swear to God, he had to base some of the panels for Scott without his mask on Matt Bomer, because it's almost identical. So him for Scott Free. For Big Barda, Gwendolyn Christie. For Orion, Joel Edgerton. For Darkseid, Charles Dance. For Desaad, Stephen Ogg. Funky Flashman should be Donald Gleason. Light Ray should be Garrett Hedlund. Highfather should be Hugh Laurie. There's other actors I'd prefer, but some of them are no longer with us, unfortunately. For La Sheena, I think Eva Green. Mad Harriet should be Natalie Dormer. Stompa should be Gina Carano. Bernadette should be Charlize Theron. And Granny Goodness has to be Kathy Bates, because I swear to God, she looks just like her. And I think Martin McDonagh could do a very good version of that. I doubt he'd ever make a comic book movie, but if in my own world, he could make a good Mr. Miracle. Because while it's bright and colourful and there's just jokes in there, it deals with a lot of dark, dark subject matter, which blends well with Martin McDonagh's style. Next, we have Batman White Knight. I've talked about this story a little bit before. I haven't covered it yet, but some of you guys seem pretty interested in it. For Joker, I was thinking Adrian Brody. Granted, a lot of the story, he doesn't actually look like Joker, so that could probably help. For Harley, Kristen Bell, I think. For Batman, Richard Armitage, who does a fantastic version of Wolverine for the Wolverine podcast, by the way. For the Neo Joker, who was pretending to be Harley at the beginning of the story, I think Brittany Snow. For Commissioner Gordon, I think Bryan Cranston. For Batgirl, I think Jane Levy, or Levi, depending on how you want to pronounce it. For Nightwing, KJ Apa. Poison Ivy, Jessica Chastain. Killer Croc, Kevin Durand. Harvey Bullock, Vincent D'Onofrio. Mad Hatter. Timothy Spall. For Mr. Freeze, John Malkovich. For Bane, Dave Bautista. For Clayface, Andy Serkis. Or Ron Perlman, one or the other. And for Nora Freeze, or Fries, Naomi Scott, I think. And it could be directed by the Coen brothers. Again, these may not match up with what you guys think, but at the same time, I'm just trying to think of some really good actors for each character, and then obviously a good director, or directors in that case. For a all-star Superman movie, which I have the book and I will read it soon. I will. Superman, Matt Bomer. No surprise there. Lois Lane, Emmy Rossum. I think she needs to play a comic book character, either She-Hulk or Lois Lane, or some good character that, like, you know, gives her a lot to do. Lex Luthor could be Guy Pearce. Jimmy Olsen could be Caleb Landry Jones. He does a lot of interesting stuff, that actor. He was in Get Out. He was also in X-Men First Class. Perry White could be Bruce Campbell. Leo Quintum, the scientist, could be Dan Stevens. The Kents could be played by Ed Harris and Jamie Lee Curtis. And Cat Grant could be Elizabeth Moss. And I think Robert Zemeckis could make a very good one. I'm trying to think of who makes hopeful movies. I know parts of that book that weren't in the animated movie as well, like when Superman stops a woman from committing suicide, is very powerful. I mean, I just see the panel and it gets me. But yeah, I think those could be really good adaptations for singular movies in like a DC Black Label type thing. If you guys have any comments on them, feel free to get in touch with me through the Instagram page for this podcast, and direct message me and we could talk about it. I had an idea recently about I love the Injustice games and the comics, and I was thinking about, you know, I don't play any of the Marvel versus Capcom games, but I would really like an Injustice style game for Marvel, and it made me think about assembling my own roster based on the one from the first game, so like I'd have the same number of characters, 24 main characters and 6 DLCs, one of which in the DLC will be from another franchise. And I thought about what characters I'd like to see in the game and tried to make it as fair as possible as match up with the first game or with the first Injustice. But again, so here's the heroes that I kind of picked to have in the game. So there's 12. We have Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, Spider-Man, the ones you kind of, you know, need to have. Then you have Black Widow, Wolverine, Daredevil, Black Panther, Scarlet Witch, She-Hulk, and Miss Marvel, the Kamala Khan version. I think those would be some really cool characters to have in a Marvel fighting game in the style of Injustice. And for the villains, I would have Loki, Thanos, Venom, Bullseye, Doctor Doom, Magneto, Green Goblin, Mystique, Enchantress, Emma Frost, Ultron, and Red Skull. Now, there is, you know, obviously other characters that deserve to be in the games, but maybe that would be for if I ever come up with a sequel, one of these. For DLC characters, I would have the Sentry, the Winter Soldier, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, the Wasp, and from Image Comics, created by Robert Kirkman, Invincible. I think that would be a pretty cool one to have. I think that'd be a pretty good game, in my own opinion. In the previous episode, I began covering the storyline known as Injustice Gods Among Us. If you are not familiar with the story, I'd highly recommend going back and listening to the beginning, because this will make very little sense. For those of you that are all caught up, let's keep going. In the destroyed remnants of what was once Metropolis, a signal is broadcast to the rest of the world. I'm alive. The League gets the message and heads to Metropolis, and in a bunker underneath all the rubble, they discover Lex Luthor, who in this universe is actually one of Clark's closest friends. They fill in Lex on what's happened up to this point. Batman has officially begun his stand against Clark and the rest of the League after the accidental death of Nightwing at the hands of Damian Wayne. Some members of the League find themselves questioning their actions, like Shazam, for instance. Black Adam was only defending his home country of Kandak, but was forced to change back into his 5,000-year-old self by Superman and Wonder Woman. The change could have obviously killed him, and that was Billy's concern. But what does Billy know? He's only a child, isn't he? Surely Superman and Wonder Woman know better than him. Wonder Woman even goes to overthrow a dictator, giving the women that he's ruled over and tortured the guns they need for their revenge. But to her eyes, it's only justice. Batman has his team capture Hawkgirl and replace her with an agent of his own in the League. The change in power on Earth and the end of all war has reached ears as far as Apocalypse. Kalibak and his father Darkseid discuss the fact that if the Kryptonians' weakness has gotten this far, they may as well take advantage of it. Darkseid tells his son to bring an army to Earth. Clark has to explain in a press conference to the world what he's doing, because to them he's only just flying in and stopping warlords and they're scared. When he is mid-speech, a massive boom tube opens and the armies of Apocalypse begin to invade, led by Kalibak. Kalibak mocks Superman while he attacks him, but quickly realizes that something isn't the same with the Kryptonian, as he stands up with an intensity in his eyes, looking at Kalibak that he has never seen before. Superman launches him into the upper atmosphere with one punch. All over the world, boom tubes are opening and the armies continue to invade. Batman and his allies join in to keep the people safe. Their momentary war has to be stopped. Superman brings Kalibak down to the ground hard and tells him to call off the attack. The opposite occurs and more parademons come through. They overwhelm Clark and he is forced to kill them with his heat vision to get free. Superman walks towards Kalibak and tells him to stand and face him. Kalibak responds with, "You win, I yield." Clark shouts at him that he does not get to yield. Superman punches him again. Between each strike, he informs Kalibak that Daddy isn't going to save you this time, and proceeds to bury his head into the ground. The Flash is running as fast as he can to save as many people as possible, but Superman arrives in front of him. They're both moving at such speed the world appears to be still. Clark needs to ask Barry something, but he's the only one who can answer quick enough for it to matter. He needs to know if there is any other way that he can save as many people as he can without killing all the parademons. The Flash won't give Clark permission to take any lives. That's a decision he has to make for himself. Clark asks him once more, is there any other way? They can't think of one. So Clark flies up to space and thinks of the thousands of lives he's about to take, parademon or not, and proceeds to kill them all in one swoop. He is met by the cheers of the people of Earth. Batman knows this is the point of no return for his friend. Superman asks Lex to begin developing a pill that will give the user his strength and durability. When trying to get his team on the same page, Batman's identity is accidentally revealed by the Huntress. He decides to remove his mask to hopefully improve the trust between them. He gets mixed reactions. Both Clark and Bruce's sides meet up temporarily. Neither want to fight because they should want all the same thing. Superman plays a game of chess with the Flash whilst debating how to get rid of violence. He wants to start with guns. Flash asks, what's next? Cigarettes, speeding, people who don't recycle. The Kents are with Lex Luthor in the Fortress of Solitude. They ask him to help their son because, as powerful as Clark is, he's just as fallible as everyone else. Damien uses the Watchtower teleporter to get to the Batcave. He hasn't returned since he accidentally killed Dick Grayson. Alfred tries to talk some compassion into Bruce and get him to talk to Damien. Damien tells him that it's always about Bruce's pain, his crusade, and his impossible standards. When Batman reacts negatively to this, Alfred places a hand on the boy's shoulder, and he is thrown into the monitor of the Batcomputer. They didn't know Damien had taken one of the strength pills. Damien obviously instantly regrets his actions, but Bruce gets even more enraged. Damien throws his father into the giant coin. It would have fallen and killed Alfred if not for the intervention of Hawk Girl. Damien apologizes and goes to leave with Hawk Girl until Batman tells them to stop. He realizes that this must not be Hawk Girl because she isn't that strong, she doesn't know the location of the Batcave, and since when does she take orders from Batman? Lighting an incendiary grenade, the fire makes Martian Manhunter revert back into his natural form. Damien escapes the cave and informs the League of what just happened. Superman thinks Bruce has gone too far and wants to take away the one thing he thinks he has left. He broadcasts himself to the world and tells them of Hawkgirl's captivity at Batman's hands, and that he will take away his anonymity. Before he can, Batman activates the protocol Icarus, shutting down the Watchtower. With the life support depleting, the League wants to bring the Watchtower to Earth, but Clark wants the message out there. So using Cyborg's personal computer, they start hashtag Batman is Bruce Wayne. The League finds Batman's location and demand Hawk Girl, but apparently he already released her. When they get confirmation from Lex, they warn Batman that the next time they'll respond in force. So he flies away. While Flash is still surprised, Green Lantern, Superman, and Diana chase after him. Jean turns invisible and sucker punches Hal. He tells Clark that he won't see this planet fall to a tyrant the way Mars did. Wonder Woman is tired of people talking to Superman about this and grabs Jean's head. Jean, with his Martian shapeshifting abilities, enters Diana's body and begins to suffocate her, cutting off the oxygen to her brain. She tells Clark there's only one way, and he blasts her with heat vision, killing Jean. Lobo, Green Arrow, and Harley and Black Canary have a side adventure, resulting in Lobo's decapitation, but don't worry, he's had worse. Batman calls his team together and informs them of the Martian's murder, deciding they need the pill that Luthor made. Batman's team, consisting of himself, Catwoman, Black Canary, Green Arrow, and Captain Atom, break into the Fortress of Solitude, while Bruce gets the President to stage an attack on Korea to distract Superman. Clark questions the President but realizes what's happening quickly. Bruce begins to panic as he finds the Kents in the fortress and doesn't want Superman to think they're the targets. God, what would he do if he thought we were after them? He turns to see Superman there, eyes burning red and Captain Atom's throat in his hand. He is still not thinking straight, ignoring his parents' pleas to let him go, but Adam won't be manhandled and uses the power of 10 nuclear explosions within his body to punch Clark. The resulting damage in the fortress separates the groups. Green Arrow is with the Kents. Adam is still beating Superman until Diana swings her sword at his throat. The slice cracks open the seal in his containment suit. Knowing he will die, he grabs Clark and flies into space at top speed. When he gets far enough, he allows himself to explode. Somehow, Clark lived, and he is pissed that they tried to kill him. He finds Diana in a coma, but she is taken away by the Flash for medical attention. Superman returns to the fortress, and as he is the only member of Batman's team in the fortress, Green Arrow tries to get the pill, but Superman stops him by lasering the stand they're on. He tries to fire an arrow at Superman. Clark tells him the obvious futility of it, but Ollie simply says, "But it'll make me feel better." The arrow bounces off Superman and hits John Kent's shoulder. Superman is furious and hits Green Arrow through a wall. Trying to prepare another shot, Ollie tries to remember the furthest an arrow has ever been fired. Launching it over Clark's shoulder and out the hole in the fortress, Superman begins to pummel Oliver's face. Blood covers his hand. His parents look on at the blood and the horror, begging for it to end. Ollie accepts it, closing his eyes, apologizing to Dinah, the Black Canary, the prettiest girl in the whole damn world. She's the last thing he thinks about before he dies. Canary and the others find his tracker, but he's not there. In place is his arrow. The arrow has the strength pill attached. Dinah walks away and says, he's not coming back. Batman gets to the Batcave and begins to scan the pill, knowing he only has minutes or less before Superman gets there. The reason Clark is not already there is that his parents are telling him how far he's gone, and that the hologram of Jor-El tells him he will no longer get any help from the fortress as he has taken lives. As Superman leaves, the hologram of Jor-El turns to the Kents and says, I'm sorry, I unleashed this upon your world. Superman crashes into the Batcave, telling Bruce that he got rid of all the crazies in Gotham except for the original. The Batcomputer analysis is at 18%. Bruce asks him if the blood on him is on Clark is Ollie's, and for him to justify killing him to Black Canary. Clark throws him across the cave and tells him to stop talking. He did just kill their most ethical and compassionate friend, after all. Batman displays pictures of Lois and Clark's wedding on the Batcomputer, telling Clark that he failed to honor and protect his wife. Clark tells Bruce that everything he's doing for Lois. And Batman says that he stopped doing that when she died, and along with her, his humanity. He stuns Superman and runs for the pill. The analysis, 96%. Superman grabs his arm and says, no. Raising Bruce over his head, the shouts of Clark, don't even faze him. Batman's back meets an indestructible knee, snapping. Clark won't kill him, but he can't have him in the way. Bruce says he wasn't trying to fight Clark, but only to distract him. He sees the analysis is complete and the pill composition specs have been sent away. While he is still reacting to this, a hand is placed on Clark's shoulder. Superman turns to see Alfred, who headbutts him and makes his nose bleed. He tells Clark how disappointed he is and that he won't get to hurt his family anymore, while beating him into the floor with his bare hands. That strength bill came in handy after all. He picks up Batman and goes to the teleporter. Superman speaks at the UN, stating that Batman is an enemy of the Justice League, and that he will expose him and his allies, because the last thing his wife ever said to him was to save the world. And that is Injustice Year 1, Part 2, done. Next, we move on to Year 2. And wrapping up this episode, I will talk about the book recommendation of the week. I was trying to think of a good one, and I figured I'd go with Geoff Johns' Blackest Night. If you love comic books and you love horror, this is the book for you, for sure. It is about the Black Lantern Corps, which are these black rings that find the most powerful dead bodies they can and resurrect them. So it's basically DC zombies. I mean, I know they're doing Deceased right now, but this was almost 10 years ago, or probably more now. But this was one of the first comics I ever saw and thought, I want to read that, you know. It blends DC and horror fantastically. Has almost every character you can think of, whether they're dead or alive in the book, is, you know, you'll have to see for yourself, but it's very, very good. And the art designs are really cool, and seeing Black Lantern versions of your favorite characters is just crazy. It's an event book that still works and holds up, and it works great as a standalone book, but if you're reading that particular Green Lantern series by Geoff Johns anyway, obviously it adds to that. But I just read it as a standalone. I've read the first of the three parts of the sequel book, Brightest Day, but I haven't finished it. But that seems to be a good story too. So Blackest Night by Geoff Johns is the book recommendation this week. I would like to thank everyone that's listened to this episode and all the episodes so far. This is episode 6. And I can't wait to do another one. I already have news piling up for the next episode, so I'll get onto that as soon as I can. And yeah, I'll continue with Injustice, and it's pretty good that I actually mentioned Blackest Night as the book recommendation because year two of Injustice is the Green Lantern and the Yellow Lanterns coming into it. So, can't wait to get into that. It's a really good part of the series. Then again, I like the whole series. Okay, so that'll just about do it. Thank you to everyone for listening. Again, Adam Murphy Art was the artist shout out this week. Be sure to check him out, and if you do, let him know that State of the Multiverse sent you. And yeah, thanks to all the feedback. Thanks to everyone sharing the podcast and spreading the word. I hope you guys are having a great day or night wherever you are. And I hope whatever you're doing is going really well. So until next time, this has been State of the Multiverse. I've been your host, Reese. Good day.